Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be talking about enlightenment, how to let your light shine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that for those Christians who are always speaking of their light, and their light has to shine wherever they are. And just as we know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, he also taught us that we must let our light shine, and he said his light would be a path unto our feet. So we're going to be talking about the Buddhahood and what does it mean to have a light shining, and will that light allow us to pour over into someone else's life and enhance their life. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who didn't listen to last week's segment, you might want to go back and take a listen to it, because we were talking about laying a foundation for those who are looking to find the Godhead within them. That's right. We're trying to lay a path for you so you can begin to start to see that your higher self is God that is laying within you dormant. And we call it the Buddha head. And basically what you're looking for is a chance to commune with that Godhead on the inside of you, and you and that God collaborate together, acting on one accord. Now, let's just go back over a few things. We talked about some terminology, and some of the terminology was the Nichean, Dishonin, the nurturing, some people pronounce it nurturing, Dishonin, path of the Buddhahood. So I'd like to reintroduce that to you again, and let you know that when we laid the path last week, we talked a little bit about why we need to acknowledge that the Buddhahood is the God that lays within us. Now, let's talk about that light. Now, when I speak of the light shining, I speak of the God that's within you that will actually shine and give a pathway to others. Now, even if somebody in your house doesn't have the way, and you notice I'm putting emphasis on the way. We used to hear the term quite a bit in the Christian faith, the way. Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way, meaning that he will shine a light unto your feet and give you guidance. Now, the Buddha is also the truth and the way. So why is it that we have another prophet that has the way? That is because there are many paths and many ways. And we all start on different paths because we're all on different levels. But ultimately, we want to end up at a path where we have enlightenment, becoming the Buddhahood. Enlightenment is when we're informed. Now, when you say you're in the dark about something, you didn't get the memo, that would mean that you did not have enlightenment. No one enlightened you on the concept or the issue. So we want to acknowledge the fact that we are going to have to stop looking for a spook God in the sky. We're going to have to stop walking around, speaking of a third party, person that's outside of ourselves, and speak of our higher self, where the Buddha head lies. Now, divinity is upon each of our heads, and I discussed that last week, but I want to emphasize that again. Divinity was on our heads when we were created, because the Creator created us from Himself. So therefore, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. The I am concept. Say that with me. I am concept. You probably heard that in a unity church, in a universal teaching, the I am concept. That was a part of the truth that the unity church was trying to get out there, so that you could know that divinity lies within you and that there's nothing outside of yourself that is greater than you. So you're saying that you're God on me? Yes, I am. And I'm saying that there's nothing outside of myself that's greater than me that could be the God other than the one that exists within me. I have a portion of it, you have a portion of it, they have a portion of it, we all have a portion of it. And God was so great that he could give us that portion and still be God all by himself. Now, so how could I be God? Let me give you a comparison. Just like the vast ocean is not the same thing as a drop of water is to that ocean, but it has the same chemical makeup as that ocean, even though it's not the vast ocean. We're not the vast God, but we have the same chemical makeup and essence of the Godhead. Now, do you get it? We're going to get this, until we have to keep adding on segments. Because it's very vital that every one of you understand that you are divinity. You are divine. You are divine. So start addressing each other as divine one, divine creature, the Godhead. And the Buddhahood is also appropriate. Now, in practicing Buddhism, you have to understand that there are universal prayers that go out where everyone is connected to the prayer, everyone, and the vibration of that prayer goes out in the universe, and it vibrates, and it picks up continual additional individuals that are adding on with their vibrational prayer. You know that a prayer is a behavior modification. You are speaking something in order to get something back. And doing the prayer in nurturing Daishonin is also a vibration. It's a tone that goes out into the universe. And we make sure that that vibration is strong enough and powerful enough to attract others and to attract a vibration that will come back, sort of like a boomerang effect. Now, I'm telling you all this because a lot of you have become fed up. I know I was. A lot of you have become fed up with the hype and with some of the rhetoric and some of the heresy that is being preached and being taught and is written off as being factual. We and you and I know that a good study, it inhabits a research of a variety of tools and material. But what I'm talking to you now about is not a religion. It is a way of life. It's a path that one might want to take. I've actually divorced myself from religiosity and religious concept, so to speak, because I know now that nothing in that book or nothing in the King James Version or nothing in the International Version is going to point me in a direction to myself unless I take the time to acknowledge that I am the Godhead that I've been searching for, and you are the Godhead that you've been searching for. Just stop it. Don't go looking up in the atmosphere, waiting for the sweet by and the by, So when you all get lined up and everyone's going to be judged and it's going to take some time until it gets back around to you and me, do you think that God would take the time to set aside a judgment day where you are judged according to all the things you've done in your lifetime and he takes numbers? No, you're judged on a daily basis. And karma was one of the terms that I taught you last time. Karma comes back to address your deeds. Now, you can erase some of that karma. You can get out of some of the punishment by doing good, so to speak, by correcting the error, by making up for the lost time that you might have stolen from somebody else. Yes, you can erase some of that karma. That's a good thing about Nishi and Dishonen. That's a good thing about Nishi and Dishonen. You can erase some of that karma through chanting Nami Emhim Reikeo, Nami Oho Reikeo. By chanting that, you can erase some of the karma, the judgment that was going to come upon you. You can eliminate some of that. That's good news, people. That's real good news, because we need to have as much dirt taken off of us as possible, because they've already put us 6 feet under and covered us with the dirt. So we need to shake off some of that dirt and get some of that karma raced off. Because, yes, you're going to be judged on a daily basis, and probably sooner than not it will come around faster than it used to. Because we no longer have to wait for the rapture and the judgment day. Judgment day is every day. Now, we need to find that out, because when you do something to me today, it might be back to hunt you Monday morning. So don't wait until you die to think that that's the only time you're going to get judged. Karma. Now, what about dukkha? I mentioned dukkha to you before. And that's another new concept, suffering. But suffering is not new to African Americans. We've had suffering around us for a long, long time. And we've suffered much and endured much. And we became the meek and the humble, and we took it in stride. So the Christian Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth. In other words, take the strides now. Don't worry, because you're going to inherit the earth for taking these blows. Now, I say that was done to suppress us. I also say that some parts of the Bible was used to keep us in further slavery, to induce us to accepting the inevitable, like slave, obey your master. Those are the types of things we had to contend with in the Bible, so we further perpetuated our slave master's touch of the whip. We further endorsed it by our own consent. We signed up for it and put ourselves in slavery because we allowed this to go on by okaying it, by embracing the religion called Christianity. We endorsed every bit of slavery and don't know it. Or shall I say, we pretend not to know it. If the slave master used that book to further incarcerate you, inducting you into slavery, and then you pick the book up after you come out of slavery, then you might as well say you've been endorsing it. Now, I don't want to frighten some of you Christians, because I used to be a Christian too. My foundation came from Christianity. I don't want to frighten anyone to the point of questioning their divinity. But what I do want to do is rattle some people's cages about who they are and about the God and who he or it is and where it resides at. I want to inform you that there is no God out there in the atmosphere. I want to also inform you that the God that was given to you, the essence of God was placed down on the inside of you. And your first thought is the God speaking to you. And you she or it cooperatively work together on one accord. Now, what about Buddhahood? Where did Jesus go for those 18 years that he was missing? Now, I did do some research, and I discovered that Jesus wasn't lost. He purposely went to the Mideast over in India and spent some time there. Case, how is it that ancient Mideasterners' religion is much older than Christianity? How could he have been over there introducing them to a way of life when, in fact, the ancient Buddha came far long before the Christian faith came? So if they have written down in history that Jesus visited India and he spent time there, and his mother even perished on the road to India, so they say, and that he was actually enshrined and buried there in a tomb. Now, I would think the other way around, because Buddha is much far older than the Christ. And the Christ is a title, people. We must remember that this is a title that Jesus carried. Christ-like behavior, a Christ-like attitude. Now, from what I researched, there was even some that said that the Christ resided there. His name was Esau, and they followed him. Now, my question is, could Buddha have also been existent at the same time or many more years prior to when Jesus came? But a pattern was laid. A Christ-like behavior, a Christ-like lifestyle. He had something called the way. He was a seeker of the smoother things. So when we look at the life of Buddha and the life of Christ, they resemble. And there's about 14 other prophets that claim to have been born the same day Jesus was and died on the cross as well. 16 crucified saviors. So history will not, but it will help us to line up with what should be in the Bible, because it has dates on history and the Bible has no dates. And a timeline is definitely necessary to carry us from here to there. Now, I want to say something to you. We need a simpler way of conducting ourselves. We don't need a cumbersome process of managing our lives, because we've already gotten this thing too tangled up as it is. We need a more simpler way, a smooth way, like Jesus once said, following after and seeking after the smoother things. What is more simpler to follow? Just getting up in the morning, chanting, saying a prayer, asking for guidance in that prayer, asking the universe to connect with you, and sending that vibration out even to the oceans, to the waters, to the rivers, to the streams, to the ponds, so that we all will vibrate on the same tone and same note. You know what that can mean? That we're all harmonizing in one direction on one accord, meaning that the frequency that you sent out there will come back to you. Even more important to know that to take a book like the Bible and say that this is a manual that Jesus wants us to follow, when in fact Jesus never even carried the Bible around himself. So we have to look at the real path. How do we form a path for our life? How do we know if we're on a path? The middle way path is the way to go, people. Go down the middle way so that you don't steer too far to the right or too far to the left. And in going down the middle way, take on no rituals that don't adhere to your customs and traditions and lifestyle. We have taken on a European custom being black and minority. We have taken on a European custom. So most of what we learn has become foreign to us. So anything foreign to you, your body will eventually reject it. That is why you can't put a foreign organ in someone's body unless you test it to see if the blood types and the DNA match. Otherwise, eventually the body will reject it. And that's exactly what's happening to some of us Christians who have been in a faith where we've gone along to get along, we've accepted everything, and eventually when we start thinking, we begin to reject the teaching. And that's exactly what is happening in some cases. Now, a lot of us are awake now. And Buddhahood means the awakened one. That's all it means, that you're awakened. I call myself a Buddhist because I've been awakened. Not somebody who was slumbering and sleeping and somebody woke them up. It took me a while to awaken. It took me a couple of eons to awaken. I was asleep, too. I was slumbering in my sleep as well. Somebody kept jarring me with the word and jarring me until eventually I woke up. And now I want to become the enlightened one. I want to be a light into somebody's feet. I want to be able to be a light in my household that I might shine my light on somebody else's life in my home that may make a difference. And that's what I'm asking you to be, to simply be a light unto someone's feet. Now, a lamp has to be lit, and it has to be so that you can see the light. What good is it to have a city on a hill without a light there so you can see the city? The only way you can see the city is if the light must be shining. And don't let anybody put your lights out. Don't walk around in the dark. Don't walk around knowing that you're outside of the will of God yourself and knowing that there's something better and then still staying in the darkness. Now, I heard a message about Jesus is the light. I heard a message about this little light of mine. These are all Buddhist concepts, the enlightened one. Yet Jesus share in the same concept. How is it? And they're two different faiths. What I'm saying is that when you line the faiths up, they are similar and in like character. Because the light is when your eyes have been opened, your spiritual eyes, necessarily your physical eyes, because you might be deaf, dumb, and blind, but your spiritual eye might be open, and you can become the enlightened one. Then why not become the enlightened one? Learn that there are many different worlds, and in those many different worlds, we experience much. We experience hell and heaven, and it's all in the frame of reference that you experience it in. Don't let anyone tell you that this is the end when you die, after your death and then judgment, and that's the end, and that the body itself has no purpose and that the dead can't do anything. Don't let anyone tell you that. Look up reincarnation. Find out what it means to you. Find out what that spirit does and that soul does, and get an understanding that the soul can never die. Matter can never die. And you're an atom. You're made up of matter. And even though your body and flesh will fall to the ground, to the dust from where it came, that spirit and soul will never die because it is matter. It cannot be destroyed, nor can it be recreated. It can only dissipate. So you got to get some concepts right. And I'm taking this very slow with you so that as I learn these things, I can pass them on to you. I was looking for an easier, smoother way of being able to keep righteousness and reciprocity and keep peace and harmony in my life and around me. How do you take all of this to your community, to your household? How do you bring this to your neighbors? You become the light. You become the light. And where the light shines, people will begin to see God. Now, this is how we find God, is through each and every one of us. We find God's face imprinted on our own face because we press that God forward through the complications of life we go through, we call that God, and he appears in our life as a source of a helpmate. And then people begin to see the true God upon each and every one of our faces. That is how you will know God. That is the only way you will know God. You will not see God coming piercing through the sky and piercing the veil, coming down through the 12 steps of the 12 tribes. You will not see God in that manner. Those days are gone. Enoch will not walk away outside of this earth and go off somewhere with God. That's not going to happen. Let's be logical, people. Let's wake up and let's become the enlightened one. And as we become the enlightened conscious one, we help each and every one of our loved ones become conscious and waken that person as much as we can jar that person and begin to keep giving them the word, and the word will wash them and cleanse them, and eventually they will wake up and see that the God lives within him. He or it lives within him, within that person. Now, if Jesus didn't mean for you to find God within him, he would have never told you that I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because he knew that through his trials and pressures that God must be showing up on his face, because he had pressed him through the complications of his life. And the same thing goes for us. When you see a person who's been through a lot of suffering, you see the pain upon their face, that is a face of God. When you see that person persevering and coming through as pure gold, we have to become buffered and buffered, and then we come through as pure gold. We don't know the true face of God. He's not a human being. He is combustible fire. So any time we try to describe God as being a man, we're all incorrect. And if someone wants to make you think he's going to look like an unhaired, blue-eyed soul brother, they're incorrect, because that's not the true vision of God. Because if God wanted to make himself a human, he would not have had to just put himself on a staff like Jesus. He could have shown himself in all of our faces, every one of us. So the face of God does not look like any one person. We all share in his likeness, so we would all be a diverse group of Godheads. So go on and call yourself God, because he's there, he, he, or it is there. And it will come through as you go through trials in your life, that God has to come through, because he said he would show up in our trials. And he said that you don't know, we don't know when he will show up. But as we begin to go through trials and tribulation, we press God forward, and that God shows up in us, and the awe of his face or the awe of his suffering shows up through us. But it's very vital that we should understand every one of us are Buddhists, and we should practice the Buddhahood. We should practice living a life of selfishness. And there is no such thing as I. It is the we concept and the us concept. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. And if I suffer, you suffer. If you are prospering, I can prosper. We have to see ourselves in a concept of a communal setting. And that's what this life is all about. It's not about fighting to have more over here in the Caucasian neighborhood and struggling to have more over here in the Hispanic neighborhood and always beneath our means in the African community or the Italian community. It means that we all can share in abundance. And there's no sense of black churches being struggling for so long and lacking so much that all we talk about is abundance, abundance. And now we've stockpiled ourselves to the point where we have all these things and we have so much abundance, but we don't have charity and we don't have humility. If I have gained all these worldly things and gain material possession and have no love, I'm nothing but a noisy, clinging cymbal, is what my sorority taught me out of the book of Corinthians. You're nothing but a noisy, clinging cymbal, because love, faith, and hope, and the greatest of these is love. But we must remember that if we are going to really bring ourselves into new consciousness, then we've got to come out of the fake thing called religion. And we've got to have a path and a way for our life. And we've got to have a way to steer away from the corruption. And the corruption comes because we have bad practices. And the practices have got to look at human suffering. It has got to look at humanity. It has got to look at changing the laws in the establishment so that they work for all people that were written in that Constitution. Now, we might even have to revisit that Constitution to rewrite it, to make it clear and plain so that he that readeth it, they can run with it, and it'll be for all people to prosper from. A law is not a law, people, when it's not fulfilled. When the law is not fulfilled for African Americans, it is not a law. It needs to be revisited. And we have to also remember that this thing called religion, if it teaches us to be racist against ourselves and others, then it is not a religion. It is one that holds us in bondage. And if we are going to get to the promised land, us will get to the promised land. Not I, she, he, or it, but we get to the promised land. That is an African proverb, that we will have to get to the promised land together. And that is a mindset to change our thought process, not a physical place called heaven. We create that physical plane in our mind. We create our heaven right here on earth, and our hell exists here too. Now, some of us are in the belly of the whale. We've been there for a long time, and we don't know anything but a hell. But guess what? It is your thoughts and your mind that is powerful, and you can take yourself up out of here whenever you get ready, because you have the power and the ability and the thought process to think yourself outside of Haiti, to think yourself in a place of heaven. Now, heaven is a frame of mind also. So let's start thinking in that manner, that we can have what we say through our thoughts. And our thought process is very strong. Now, I want to thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, because the Buddhahood is a great path that I'm taking you on, and I'm glad that I have come into enlightenment every day as I do the prayers. I urge you to look up Nyishin or Nyishin, Daishonin Buddhahood, and know that it is definitely something that you can look forward to. You can look forward to having peace in your neighborhood, enlightening your neighborhood, and bringing peace to your neighborhood. So stay tuned until next time. Thank you so very much for joining the Oracle 3s, and you've been listening to Omini the 7, Lady Jaguar Thumb, also known as Mrs. Harvey's baby sister. Please join us for our next great topic, and we will be featuring a guest during that segment, so you want to call in to speak to our guest. And we'll be back at you by this, possibly on Saturday. So please check our schedule to see when we're on. We do not have a regular schedule up, but we do thank you for being a part of our show. And remember, we are practicing staying on the middle pathway, the Buddhahood. So become gods and embrace the Buddhahood. Oh, double.